Praise the Lord Jesus.
Can we sing number 50 in the verse?
Number 50.
Generations of people have lived throughout all their lives, and they never had a
a songbook in their hand. They had to memorize it. They had to learn it. Somebody had to lead them for it. Had to go, glory to God, we have a Bible. Amen. We have it in our hand. We can read it. Even if we argue about which translation is the right one, we've got something we can depend on. We've got something we can give glory to God. We've got something that we can understand what God has to say. God talked to us. Wow, what a grace that God talked to us.
Amen. Amen.
Now think about this present evil world. You're saying, that doesn't sound very good. I wonder about the grace of God that allowed Adam and Eve to live.
Yeah.
So actually go out of the garden and have a chance of redemption and bring us all the way down to now where the goodness of God leads us to repentance and you and I have a chance to live and to live with God eternally. Because God didn't just squash Adam and Eve like a bunch of bugs who failed. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful that He brought salvation down to me. I'm thankful that He gave me good parents and a good family and a good wife. You know, it says that whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and findeth favor of the Lord. You know what favor is? That's grace. Grace is favor. That's the grace of God. I have a wife who loves me.
Yeah.
Still with me. I have favor from God because of my children. I have favor of God because of my family. I've got a wonderful time to be thankful.
Man.
Can you imagine a day set aside by a nation to give thanks to God?
Amen.
Even though probably 95% of the people, we barely recognize that God is to be thanked. They enjoy the holiday. They talk about Thanksgiving, but they don't really understand the grace of God. The abundant grace of God. How much grace do I have in my life? I've never missed a meal. I drive good cars. I have a decent house. I've had wonderful things in my life. I've had the chance to hear the gospel and be saved. I've had a chance to share the gospel and see others saved. I've had the chance to be a part of a church where Jesus Christ is honored. Those are things that are the abundant grace of God. Wow, what a grace we have. I'm thankful for the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful that He gives us this grace. He says He gives us life and life more abundant. He gives us grace so that we have grace to every good work. That we may abound to every good work. Every good thing I've ever done is by the grace of God. He says that He gives us the ability, the power to get wealth. So if I have anything worth having in this life, in this life, it's because of the grace of God. Everything I have. Yeah. I want to thank God this morning for the abundant grace of God.
Amen.
Say in 2 Corinthians, and if you look in chapter 1 and verse 12, I heard somebody say something this week that, or recently, that stuck with me, but I've been thinking about simplicity. And they said that everybody wants a simple life, but it's extremely difficult to come by. And in 2 Corinthians 1, 12, he says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to your word." And I was just thinking about how simple the gospel is and our life can be through God and through our salvation. One of the things that complicates life a lot is our desires, our lusts, and then sin, obviously, causes a lot of complications and a lot of hardships. And then I was thinking about how hard it is to come up with something simple. If you ever have a device or something that is simple, it means that it was well thought out. It means that it was well planned and that it costs a lot to get it in, get it to where it's simple for you. You just push a button or something like that. I remember when I was a kid, we would watch these gymnastics or something and you would see something that looked like it was super simple, but it was because of the skill and the strength of the gymnast. It wasn't because it was simple. As a kid, you think you can try one of these triple flips because they look so simple, but it's because they are skilled and they are powerful and they've been training for such a long time. But if you think about how difficult it was, not for us, but for God to come up with this simple plan of salvation where we just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we have eternal life granted to us, that this Bible simplifies so many things. It's not replete with all these details and different excesses. It's just simple. It's simple stories that we can connect with and we understand. We understand the meanings of, but it also brings us to repentance. Once we look in this book, we see our own sin. We see what we've done wrong. And then we come and we're broken down by it, and God says, just accept what Jesus Christ did, and you have salvation.
Amen.
Look at chapter 1, verse 9, and I'll read through 12 again. It says, "But we
had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, hell, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of sins, thanks may be given by me on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in this world and more abundantly to you. And I just want to thank God that he made it simple for us. It cost him a lot. It took a lot of forethought. It took a lot of planning on his part. And on our part, all we do is we come to him, we lay our sins down, we accept what he has done, we praise him and thank him that he made it accessible to people so complicated and so full of sin, so inadequate, but God made it accessible to even simpletons. And I thank him for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Romans chapter 10, verse 9, talking about simplicity. I don't know if you thought about it. I thought about it last week, especially that you put a 50-cent stamp on an envelope and you put a little blue box and it goes all the way around the world. Seems pretty simple to me, but it is complicated. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to just speak on four things this morning. The inclusivity of the message, the simplicity of the message, the greatness of the gift, and the character of the giver. These passages in this scripture are special to me because we're approaching very quickly December 23rd. And on December 23rd, 1974, I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. I did not grow up in a family that was centered on Christ, or like you were blessed with, Ed, or some of you others were blessed with a great family that believers that were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. My family was basically unbelievers. They weren't saved. We didn't go to church. I wasn't baptized. We really didn't read the Bible. We did have a Bible. Our religiosity was, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for the food, amen, which we did every dinner time. But as far as knowing God, I didn't know God. As far as under salvation, I didn't understand salvation. And I can remember on December 23rd, 1974, I was from Ypsilanti, Michigan. It was raining, cold, sleety, ugly kind of weather. It was dark. We were out selling Hardee's hamburger gift certificates for Christmas, and we were coming back to the Hardee's hamburger restaurant on Michigan Ave in Ypsilanti, and the lightning had hit a power line pole and knocked the wires across the Michigan Ave, which is a highway up there, and we ran into the wires, and the car stalled out, and the lights were out, and we couldn't get this car started. I was with two young ladies, Karen Stacy and Gwen Higgins. And Karen wanted to get out of the car and run it because she didn't want to be out on the highway. She wanted to get off the other side of the road. But we had the electric wire bouncing around, and it was just a dangerous situation. I was only 16. They were maybe 17, 16 years old. I was trying to keep Karen in the car because she wanted to get out and we wanted her to get out. And Gwen Higgins says, "Let's pray." And I'm thinking, we ain't in church. I mean, we're in a dangerous situation. What do you mean, let's pray? It's not dinner time. What's going on? In my mind, you know, it was just the strangest thing for me. But she just began to pray like she knew God. She just began talking to God. Amen. And, you know, I don't remember all the words that she said. I don't think that's important. But she was just communicating with God about the situation we're in. And she was praying that God would keep us safe. And then we were able to get the car started, and we got back to Hardee's, and we called the police, waiting for the police to get up there. And I went up to Gwen, and I said, "What was that? What is this prayer?" It was bewildering to me. I just didn't understand. And she says, "Well, Brent, aren't you saved?" And I said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And she opened up, she pulled out a Bible out of her purse, little Gideon's New Testament, and began showing me these scriptures. And you know what? Here's what's great about it. This how it's so inclusive. For it says it twice in verse 11. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I can remember this day her asking me. Now, Brent, look at this passage here in verse 13. When it says whosoever, do you think it includes you? I said, yeah, I think whosoever includes everybody, doesn't it? She says, that's right, includes you. Isn't that a great message? Whosoever? Do you know there are religions in the world that say if you're not a member of our religion, there's no hope for you? Yeah. Did you know the current Pope said that if you're not a Roman Catholic or you're not a member, that's, here's the exact quote, there is no salvation outside of the church. And he's not the only Pope that said that. Did you know there are religions in the world that if you're not baptized in their church and in their manner and their water, you're not going to make it? Did you know that in some religions, just the color of your skin or the race that you were brought up born in, that you're excluded from their religion? Right. Do you realize? This is why this is a great message, because it says, whosoever, that includes you. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what you eat for breakfast or don't eat for breakfast. It doesn't matter, because it's whosoever. Look what it says. It says in verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Now, religion makes a difference.
Yes.
Religion, basically, in a nutshell, is if you're the best, we take you. If you're not up to our standards, then you're excluded. Whatever their standards they happen to set, and every religion sets their own standards. But you know who Jesus takes? He takes everybody. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek. Doesn't matter if you're an American or a Polack. Doesn't matter if you're a Polack or a Mexican. Doesn't matter. Yeah? Because He died for all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then, the simplicity. After I found out this message was for whosoever, and that included me, I got pretty excited. And then, whosoever shall what? And then, you know, I was waiting to, you know, because I'd heard different things over the years. I was waiting, well, you got to keep the commandments, or you got to get baptized, or you got to fulfill this type of requirement, or you got to partake of the sacraments, or you've got to. I was waiting for, you know, the catchphrase, you know, like the salesman. He tells you about a great gift, but there's always a catch to it, right. Yeah? And so I was waiting for that, but then she says, reading the scripture, she says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Hey, I can call.
Amen.
Hey, I can believe. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be saved. I can do that. That's something I can do. When they told me I had to keep the Ten Commandments, I thought, well, that was great. If there was only 10, maybe I can do it. But then I read the Ten Commandments, and I thought, man, I am in big trouble. I haven't even begun, and I'm already 50% in the hole, you know. So I realized I couldn't make it. But then when I found out, whosoever believing I can do. Yeah? Amen. Calling, that's something I can do. I can call on the Lord. And that is so simple that people miss it. Because everybody thinks we've got to do something extra. But when the Lord's done it all, then the greatness of the gift. Do you realize you can be saved? Do you realize you can be delivered from sin?
Yes.
Delivered from the wrath of God?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I wasn't a happy camper when living in my sin. I wasn't a happy camper when necessarily with my friends. You know, I tolerated my friends and we ran around doing things, but it just wasn't the best of lives. Yeah. You know, sitting in a garage and everybody's smoking weed is not a real life.
That's right.
Now personally, I didn't smoke weed, but I was in the garage. I think I got enough that I didn't ever inhale.
You lied.
All men are liars, right? There's no need to go into details of the wickedness of that.
Right.
The point is that there's no peace for the wicked.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I did not have in my life was the peace of God. I had so-called friends. I was pretty active in doing things, but I did not have the peace of God. I did not have what Wim Higgins had, the joy of the Lord. And for me, you know, just the expressiveness of us Christians now being able just to thank the Lord, praise the Lord. I didn't have that in my life. I mean, my life was more about complaining, moaning, and groaning, and that type of thing. There was no real thanksgiving, but this gift, being saved. Do you know how many people will knock on your door and want to talk to you about religion? If you ask them, are you saved? They're going to say no. Do you realize how many religions in the world, they talk about, you know, we got to do this and this in order to be saved. But you ask them, are you saved? And they say, not yet.
Right.
Not yet. I don't know. I hope I will. Right. Yeah? But this is the message we have. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This we have. We can say, I'm saved. And we're not bragging on ourselves. I'm saved because of him.
Amen.
Yeah? That's the difference. If you get saved in religion, then you can pat yourself on the back and say, I did it. I'm one of the top 10% achievers. You know, I'm the best. But what we talk about is, I'm the worst, but he's the greatest.
Amen.
And he saved me. And that's the message. And the character of the giver. Do you realize the Lord that promised this cannot lie?
Yeah, thank you.
Amen.
You ever been promised something and they didn't fulfill it?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, the worst are the mechanics or car salesmen. I don't know, somewhere in there. Because they always something, and then when you go to get it, they say, well, I'll have your car done by Friday. Good, because I'm leaving Friday night to go up north. Yeah. It'll be done. Mr. Riggs, it'll be there. Call in. Go in there Friday. Oh, we're not going to be able to get this out till Monday. Yeah? Ever happened to you?
Sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And we go a long line. But God's not like that. If he promises, he fulfills it. We serve that cannot lie. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on the name of the Lord that night.
Amen.
Went home after the police came. Went home. Got on my knees in the basement of my dad's house. And I called on the Lord. And you know what happened? I didn't hear a voice from heaven. Didn't see an angel. Didn't speak in tongues. The earth didn't shake. I didn't have a real emotional experience. I wasn't weeping or crying. But when I got off my knees, I knew that God had heard me.
Amen.
And saved my soul. And my life has been
complete
since then. Thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Amen. I have something in Romans 10 that I want to share. Most of you all know my testimony. I was saved as a 16-year-old, wild and crazy high schooler. And there was a campaign in 1976 brought about by the Southern Baptist Convention Church, and it was titled, I Found It. And everywhere you looked, everywhere you, on the billboards and everything, you saw the sign, I Found It, on bumper stickers, and I was like, what is this? And my brother, my middle brother, had just gotten saved a few years before. And I asked him, I said, what is it around? I found it. And he says, well, it's we're putting on to get people to ask questions and so we can talk to them about the Lord. And I'm like, I didn't want that answer. That wasn't what I was looking for. I found, you know, the lottery. I won the ticket or something like that. But he witnessing to me, and I rejected it. I pushed it, and I was thinking, you know, I want this now. I'm 16 years old. I have my whole life ahead of me. And I wasn't ready to become like my brother was and some other people were. You know, the more he talked to me, the more it made sense. You know, found it. And, you know, I wasn't sure if it was the person. I didn't know if it was the salvation. It was the church. I understand. And he kept talking. One night, July 11th, 1976, I understood it. And it was the grace. Amen. Grace that sought me.
Yes.
I wasn't looking for it. And then a couple of years ago at one of our ladies' fellowships, we had been witnessing to a that her husband was awful. She was awful. But her husband got a hold of us and he's like, you've got fix my marriage. And we began counseling them, and she came to the ladies' conference, and she came up to me. She goes, Janice, I understand. I understand me. And she says, I didn't want it. I didn't want any part of y'all. And I said, I understand. I didn't want any of it either, but God did something Amen. In my life. And we were in our fellowship, this verse came up, and it has just been one of those life verses to me. And it's Romans 10 and verse 20. But Elias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest and asked me. Now that's my testimony. God sought me. God found me. I didn't find. He found me. And he changed my life. He gave me grace. He gave me mercy. He gave me love. That child changed my life. It changed my life drastically.
Amen.
And I don't know if it's changed my family's life. I know it's changed my children's lives.
Yes.
It's changed other people's lives. And yes. It just, I was found in want. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I said, them that ask not after me. I was, like I said, I was running from God. I did not want to settle my life down at that time, but He had other plans for me. And then this last week, I've been reading in Jeremiah, and another verse, just a couple of verses just came up. Jeremiah chapter 29. And, you know, when God is in your life, no matter what you go through, no matter the trials, the temptations, the sin, God always has a way of finding us. He's like the father that's waiting for his son to come back. You know, he doesn't go after him, but he's there the whole time, waiting and watching and waiting for him to come back. And Jeremiah chapter 29 and starting in verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil." How many people today, how many of us don't have peace? You know, we let things, we let life get in the way. But there's a lot of people out there who don't have the peace of God.
That's right.
I have the peace of God. I think most of us here have the peace of God. But He says, "I have thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Oh, hallelujah for the expected end.
Amen.
"Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Oh, thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for hearing the prayer of a 16-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy that called upon you and you saved us. You heard us and you saved us. Oh, what He's done. "And ye shall seek me."
Amen.
He changes our hearts.
Yeah, He does.
I wasn't seeking Him, but He sought me and He found me. And now I can seek Him. "And ye shall seek me." And guess what? "And find me."
Yes.
Find me. "I was found of Him. When you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." He took away all of those chains that had me down.
Yes,
he takes away the sin. He takes away the problems, the weaknesses that we face. He takes them away, and He makes us free. And I'm just, I don't know, call it getting old, call it whatever you want to call. But the longer I'm in the Lord, with the Lord, walking with Him, He gets sweeter.
Amen.
He gets more precious. He gets more, there's nothing else worth living for. And it's all because He was seeking.
Amen.
And even when I was not seeking, He sought me and He found me and He changed my life. And I want to praise Him, because
Amen.
There is nothing better, greater to know the peace of God, to be able to wake up in the morning, not knowing what the day will bring forth, not knowing where I'm going to be today or tonight. It's hard when you wake up and you don't know where you're at. You're in a different bed, you're in a different city, you're in a different country. But you know, the peace of God that fills our hearts, that just, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, He's there, and I'm just thankful for His
Thank
goodness
you,
and His
Amen.
Mercy.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There are five things here that the children of Israel received through Moses' administration. We'll look at chapter 10, verse 1. This is 1 Corinthians 10, 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." If you read the story over there in Numbers, you get to like Numbers 23 or 24, something like that. They're getting ready to, they're at the spot where they're going to go into the promised land. And there's giants there and it's scary, and they lose heart, and they forgot all the stuff that had happened to them in those 2 years they'd been crossing the Sinai desert. And they made things there. They said things like, "Would God we had never left Egypt," even though they were slaves in Egypt. Or they said, "Would God we had died in the desert." Which, you know, how could that be any worse, dying in the desert, than dying, you know, trying to get the promised land? I don't see it. It doesn't make sense. But it crosses my mind that of all people, myself, have no room to complain, no room to murmur, because these things that he did to them, he did to me. I want you to notice the first thing he says, all our fathers were under the cloud. And I want to say that that tells me that there was a providential protection put over those people, that in some way nothing could touch them except by God's allowance, that God would say yes or whatever. But nothing could touch those people. They were under the cloud. There was no way anything could get close to them. Even when Pharaoh came to try, God got in the way. And the pillar of fire at night. And all of these things, they were under providential protection of God. And I got to thinking about my life and how God was just providentially over everything, influencing everything that ever happened in my life, so that I can look back on my life now and say, yeah, that was God. Yeah, that was God. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this works out. I don't know why in the world it would be me and not somebody else. But God was there as a cloud over my life, so that even when it wasn't a personal, something happening personally to me, something was happening that providentially took care of me. There's a book written by Michael Medved. He's a Jew. He's a practicing Orthodox Jew. But he wrote a book called The American Miracle, because he is convinced that the country of America was providentially begun or protected by God. He points out a whole bunch of miracles in this book that happened to America that caused America to be what it became. And I'm not trying to praise America. I just want to point out, he notices providence. He says, how is it that George Washington could survive all of these different things, had so many horses shot out from him, so many bullet holes through his, and yet he made it all the way through, and he was the main man that got the whole thing happening, to make it happen. And he said, if he had been killed, it probably wouldn't have happened. And he goes on many, many other things. And I got to thinking, that's the same thing in my life. One thing after another that you can look back and say, that's providence.
Yes.
That is God taking care of me.
Yeah, that's right.
There's another thing. He says, and they all passed through the sea.
Yeah.
You realize that's talking about salvation. Yeah. They were under the thumb of slavery. I mean, they were slaves. You talk about a horrible type of a slavery that they had, and their taskmasters were hard on them, and they were treated horribly. And God came because of the administration of Moses. Moses goes and stands to Pharaoh and says, I'm taking them out. God says, my people are leaving. And all the stuff Pharaoh did to stop them and to try to impose his harsh rule over them. And God even hardened his heart to prove, I don't care how hard you try to keep them, you're not going to keep them here. And God showed his power in to Pharaoh and brought them out. And then they're stuck at that sea, and they're in that little peninsula. They can't get that. And then comes the army of Pharaoh, and he's bearing down on them, and he's going to either enslave them again or kill them. And they're stuck up against the sea. And the only thing between Pharaoh and the nation of Israel is that pillar of cloud.
Amen.
Standing in the way. And the Pharaoh can't go forward. He says, what's going on? This huge cloud wouldn't let him get closer. And then Moses puts his rod out over the sea.
Amen.
And the sea just goes, opens right up, and it dries out. This east wind just cut out the ground. So they didn't even walk in mud. They walked across dry ground, across the sea.
Amen.
And then the cloud removed, and it decides to fall, and he goes into that sea. And Moses takes his rod, moves it out of the way, and water comes back. The entire army of Pharaoh. You know what that is? That's salvation.
Yes.
It was no less spectacular when he saved me. When he went to the cross and died for me, and when he triumphed over them in the cross, when he blotted out the handwriting of ordinance against me, everything that he did in order to save me brought me and said, now you're safe. Nothing else can touch you. You are safe. That's the salvation of God. And he gave it to me. That is tremendous. Another thing he says, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. Now that tells me that's identification. He joined me to his people.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go and prove myself or do. I joined immediately. He says, you're mine now. You baptized unto me. You belong to my church. You belong to my people. You are elect.
elect, you are perfect in the Beloved, you are accepted in the Beloved, all of that stuff is just a given to me because I was saved.
Right.
Then he says, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. You realize that they started going out there and, you know, this is a couple of million people walking in the desert. What are they going to eat? And stuff starts falling out of the heavens. And every single morning they go out there and they have food that's resting on the grass or on the ground. And they can just pick it up and gather. They can gather a nice little, it's like a good taste of fresh oil. It's just a good food that just falls every single day until they cross the Jordan River by the time it stopped falling. It was miraculous meat to eat. That is, to eat. And you know something? God gave you food to eat. He gave me the Bible. He gave me this revelation. It's the food of God. He says, this is for you, and you eat it, and you are well nourished, and you live in spirit. This book, you should never forget the thankfulness for this book. It's a tremendous thing. It's the greatest gift other than the Savior himself. But then there's one more thing. He says, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink. And that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit that wells up inside you and guides you through your life. God has given me all of this. I know He's given them to me. It's how, if you read on down, it talks about all the mistakes these children of Israel made after they received all of that. After they had all of that, and it gets down to the end. I mean, they committed fornication. They committed idolatry. They lusted after stuff. They wanted more. They didn't like the manna. They wanted, they wanted real meat. You know, they wanted flesh to eat. But then in the end, verse 10, he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. They started complaining. And that murmuring seems so incongruous. It doesn't match. It is inappropriate for someone who has received so much to murmur.
Right.
And yet I find myself murmuring. Yeah. I've got all this stuff. I've got all this, and this is the good stuff. I'm not even counting all the real blessings that He's given me besides salvation, besides belonging to Him, besides His gifts. There's many other things. I mean, I can say like Eddie, I've got a beautiful wife that has loved me for many years. I've got so many healthy children. And I myself have been healthy, and my father's healthy. And I've got grandchildren. They come up and hug me all the time. I love it. These are all great gifts of God. And yet I still complain. In fact, I don't know any other people that is more of a complaining people than Americans.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, we were just laughing the other day about what they now call bullying.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really?
Yeah.
That's really not the problem. What you're thinking there, that's not the big issue. You've got so many great things. We ought to never be complainers. And I got to thinking, you know, I want to confess my sin of complaining. It's not true. It's not right. I should never complain against my God who's given me all of these wonderful things. The salvation of my soul, the Holy Spirit to walk with me and guide me, the Holy Bible to give me the strength that I need to serve Him, to live for Him, even to lead me on in my life. And all of these wonderful blessings, including the forgiveness of my sins and His providential protection over my entire life. You could give the same exact kind of testimony this morning about how many times God is just taking care of you. Amen. We have no business complaining. We just got no business complaining. And I apologize, Lord. I know that it's not right. It's not right for me to ever have complained. But I do want to say today that I'm thankful. I really am thankful for God's wonderful providence. I'm thankful for His salvation. I'm thankful for His Word. I'm thankful that He joined me to the church. I'm thankful that He gave me His Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that I have this morning again to be able to stand up and say, thank you, God.
Amen.
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 Look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter
4,
verse 29. So Moses is talking to Israel and he's basically commanding obedience. He says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou shalt seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God.
Amen.
He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee.
nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, for is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice,
amen,
that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon
Amen.
The earth beneath, there is none else.
Amen.
Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. This passage just takes your breath away, and it makes you realize how amazing God is, and who he is, and the God that we serve. And today I'm thankful that we serve a God that's so faithful, wise, and so long-suffering.
Amen. Thank you.
Have you seen 477 in the red book?
Hey. 477. Let's stand.
Oh,
65.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He called and talked to everybody. tonight, so praise the Lord for that.
Somebody else have a word?
I've always been shy, and everyone looking at me just makes me want to cry. So I'm sorry. I grew up in a Christian home, and that's a huge blessing. And I
that's
think
right.
When you grow up, just always surrounded by God's grace and forgiveness and salvation, you can really take God's blessings for granted.
Yeah, you do.
But as an adult, you know, going through some difficulties, or not even that far compared to what other people go through, but God's just become really real to me.
Amen.
And that's really what I want to just praise Him for, because, I mean, we've seen God answer prayers in amazing ways, you know, and I mean, it was just really clear that that was God.
Yes.
And just to give you a really simple example, because He's answered even harder prayers than this, but Corey had lost his job, and I had two little, they were still young, and I remember I had to go back to work, and the way my work schedule was, I hardly saw them, and it was really devastating to me. And I remember just praying to God every day, like, God, it just wouldn't be like my kids. I know this is selfish. I know there's women out there who have to work and don't get to see their kids, but please, Lord, just give them a job. And I wanted to make this much money so I can stay home. And I had a specific salary that I was praying for.
Right.
And I prayed for a year. And I remember Corey calling me at this job interview, and it was like, Jenny, it just was provided to him in an amazing way. And they sent him an offer letter, and it was for the exact salary that I had prayed for.
Amen.
And the funny thing was, is they accidentally sent him the offer letters to everyone else that they had offered the job to. And what they offered him was way more than they were offering anybody else. I mean, it was just obvious that this was God, and He had answered prayer. And so I just want to praise the Lord, because going through, you know, certain things, the comfort that I have gotten was in the thought where David, you know, he says, the Lord is my portion.
Yes.
And that's just something that has been a comfort to me, because God's not good because of what He's given us. And we have a lot to be thankful for, but because He's our portion.
Right.
And you have a God who, for some reason, takes a personal interest in us.
Right.
That I don't even comprehend it. And I don't understand why He would care that I want to stay home with my kids, or why He would care, you know, that we're sick and we just ask for healing. I mean, He cares. He truly cares for us. And, you know, there's so many Christians who don't have all these blessings that we thank God for, you know, their health or a good job. They don't have anything, but they're still just so blessed because they have God. They have Jesus who they can go to. And I just think David says everything better than I could, so I just wanted to read probably all of Psalms 103, just to hear this character of this Lord, this Jesus who is ours, who we can go to. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy sins, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He hath made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him.
Thank you, Lord.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us.
Amen.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works from the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Joshua 24. So I grew up a little bit different than Jenny. I did not grow up in a Christian household. And that's why this verse sticks out to me. Joshua 24:15. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now this sticks out to me because, first of all, it just seems like there's a reasoning going on. He says, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord. Think about this. Now, I didn't get saved until I was 30. 41 now. And there was a comparison I could make. So I look at my life before I got saved and the arguments I had, the altercations I had, and all the other stuff that I'm not going to run into. And then I could compare what the Bible says life would be like with Christ. So I had to choose who I was going to serve. And I thought to myself, why would God want to reason with us? I mean, I don't want to reason with people. I hate ignorant people. I really dislike ignorant people. I really dislike hard-headed people. People who don't listen. People who always think they're right. People who always try to justify and make excuses for their ways. And that's us. But yet, God says, I want you to think about some things. And before this verse, if you read, like, I'm not going to read it, but like in verse 2 and 3 and 4, he starts talking about everything God did. He says, keep this in mind, but before I ask you to make a choice, I want you to remember what he did for your fathers. I want you to remember everything he did. All the provision, all the taking care of, all the love, all the trust, everything they had, I gave you. Keep this in mind before I ask you what you're going to do. And then he goes on and he asks this question. He says, who are you going to serve? I'm thankful that God gives us a choice. That may be really simple, but that's important. Because I don't think I'd want a God that would force me into something. It just doesn't fit right with me. But that God would say, look at what you've been doing and look what I offer you. There's a better way. I can give you purpose. I can give you something worth living for. I can give you an eternity with me. But look at the path you're heading down. That just means a lot to me. And then Joshua says something which really just touched me. He says, but as for me. So this was personal. As it is for each and every one of us. It's personal. We come to God and we give ourselves to God because of what he's done on the cross and because he searched us out and he's convicted us and showed us something, right? But the verse implies that it's more than just Joshua. Because he says, me and my house, right? Which would imply it's more than just Joshua. And it makes me think of my kids. You know, like, this is huge for me because now I'm not making decisions for me.
That's true.
Now I have to look to a God for my children. And how thankful am I for that? Because I am apt to make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Even when people give me the greatest advice, I don't take it because I'm hard-headed, right? But I have the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that he's given me a church that taught me his Word. I'm thankful that he's given me a wife to continually remind me of his word. I'm thankful for the children that he's entrusted us with. I mean, I'm just thankful today. I just want to praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You are worthy.
Amen.
I've been reading in Job and found some really good verses. Job 23:13. The 16, but he is in one mind, and who can tell him, and one is so desirous, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore I am troubled in his presence when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubles me. I'm so thankful, and I'm stubborn, and my husband can testify of that. I was born stubborn. I don't know anybody who really isn't, just more some more than others. But I'm so thankful. I found this verse and said, God, making my heart soft. I can't really change myself, but he maketh my heart soft. And also in verse 10 of that same chapter, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Yeah.
That's such a wonderful promise.
Amen.
And what we're going through really has an end and has a meaning and has a value. And there's so much he's given us here, but there's so much more to come.
Amen.
Wow, we can't even, said the Bible says, we can't even comprehend, or it's beyond our imagination. And Job 19:23. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So those promises, you know, even as you get older and have difficulties, more difficulties, you think you have difficulties when you're young, and when you get older. They may be a little different, you know, you're a little wiser, but you still have a lot of difficulties. But praise the Lord. There's a wonderful, God has blessed us with so much this whole life. Just every single day, things like Jenny said, we just take things for granted because we've been, many of us have been raised knowing the Lord or knowing about the Lord. And we know how good he's been to us. And when we get older, we see the other side, and we see, wow, you know, what I was saved from.
Yes.
And praise the Lord that it's not just for today or tomorrow. It goes all the way into eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You take 118 in the red books? 118.
open to John 3. This wasn't what I was going to stand up and say. And then, you know, God deals with you. Most of you know I have a daughter who's handicapped. She's an adult. And I have to tell you that sometimes I'm confounded by what's going on in our lives with her. But I always learn something about my attitude towards God and my dealings with her. She is the best illustration that I could have ever gotten. And so I was dealing with her the other day, and this is confounding to me. You know, some of you might have heard that illustration about faith is like trusting in a chair. If you don't trust the chair, it's going to hold you up. You don't have any faith. She's afraid of chairs. She is absolutely convinced she's going to fall right out of it. She's not sure the chair's going to break. She thinks she's going to fall. And somebody else had sat in our chair in the seat in the car, and it was leaning way back, and she doesn't lean back. And so she got in the chair, and she just, you're like, this chair's not going to hold me. And I'm like, it's okay, it's okay. I'm going to put the seat up. I'm going to lift. Oh, no, my feet won't touch the ground. And she is absolutely certain she's going to fall. And I'm thinking, I'm telling her, I've never lied to her about chairs. Especially, believe me, I don't lie about chairs. And so, and I warn her, it's going to move. So I'm thinking, she's not believing me. I'm telling her this chair is not going to fall. It's bad enough she doesn't trust the chair. She doesn't believe me that I'm going to let her fall. So I was thinking about me. And I was thinking about the Lord. And I thought, where do I do that to God?
Yeah.
So I was looking at John 3 and in verse 11. He's talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is asking him questions about being born again. And Jesus is telling him, I told you, and you don't even believe me. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness.
Yeah.
If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, and even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I mean, what better source have we got than the person who's been there? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's giving them an example that they have seen, that they know it's part of their history, that all they had to do was look at that serpent on the pole and they would be saved from the bite of death by faith. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might through him be saved. And then here's the verse. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Do you believe him? Do you believe he does what he says he's going to do? Do you believe that through believing in him, you have faith and it's going to get you into heaven, that you're going to be with him eternally, that he loves you that much? He's given us this word with all of these promises, not just this one. He's given us so many promises. Do we believe him? Or are we thinking the chair is going to fall? Even though he's proved over and over and over that he can keep his promises. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I want to thank God that we have a trustworthy God.
Amen.
He is who he says he is, that he tells us the truth, that he's, I'm waving a phone, but that he gave us his word, that it's true, and we can have faith in it. And he even gives us the faith.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
We see number 30 in the supplement.
For 30 in the supplement.
Thank you.
that loveth me, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love him, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sins, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. He shall leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard it, how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I just want to thank the Lord for leaving us the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I just cringe at the thought of living without Him, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit going in.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Psalms 118, verse 28. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord is the Lord. He says here, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Say for the next 6 months, for a year, he says forever.
That's true. Amen.
How do you define that? How can you praise that forever and ever? I just want to praise and glorify my Lord. I have a lot of things to be thankful for.
Yeah.
But I'm very thankful for that way back. I was 30-something years, 35, 36. Someone came from this church and gave this pamphlet to me. I was outside on Saturday. It was during the fall. I remember that. And some young man from the church came and put this in my hand. He said, we invite you to our church.
Amen.
And I was so thankful because at that time, it was the 90s, the gangs were very, very strong. And I saw these young men, 15, 16 years old, adolescents. I said, oh, wow, said, this guy's came in here. And they put this. I said, told my wife, let's go and check this church out. I was tired. I was coming out of my religion. That's one thing I want to praise the Lord. I was coming out of religion, the Catholic church. And I was tired of this church, and I had told my wife a couple of weeks before, I said, we're getting out, we're not coming back. I said, we're not coming back to this Catholic church or nor other Catholic church. All they talk is about finances, about how much money they need, and fundraisers, and I was tired of Micah's and raffle tickets and breakfast tacos. But anyway, I didn't need it. But I was tired of all this. Leaving sin down over and over again. I say, we're not getting anything out of it. We're just wasting our time. It hasn't been a great benefit, not only to myself, but to my family.
Exactly.
Knowing the Lord, serving the Lord,
doing
His work, His mercies.
Yes.
I'm so glad that when I called out to Him, I said, Lord, I want to go to a Bible-believing church where your word is preached. I don't know your word. I'm ignorant. Like I said, I'm the one who was ignorant of John 3:16. I had no idea what John 3:16 meant. And the only time I saw it was at the football games. And I said, who is this? Who's John? And why is he saying he's in section 3? I mean, I see some serious, but that's the truth. I had no idea who John was. But the only thing is, that's John 3:16. But that was my ignorance in my own Catholic belief. Who I was. I was a good Catholic. Boy, I'm a good Catholic. Yeah, I go to convention occasionally. I do take communion, what have you. I'm a good Catholic. I'm good till next week. But I didn't know the Word of God. I was ignorant. But when I came to this church and I started knowing the Word of God, I said, oh, wow, this is awesome. I said, this is the Word of God. It really, really, really opened my eyes.
Amen.
If you came from where I came from for 30-something years, you'd be so thankful for the mercies of the Lord.
Amen.
God is so merciful. And the mercy that He showed to me, and knowing the Word of God, and serving the Lord, and knowing the Lord, and being around Bible-believing church. And one of the first things I did after I came here, started serving the Lord, I threw this demon away. I was a social drinker. I drank on weekends. sorry to say it, but I was a soldier drinker. I thought, for my wife, you know what? No more, that's it. Before this, you can go out of this world, among other things. But I was a soldier drinker, but I'm so glad that I came here to know the Lord, to serve the Lord. And I want to thank the church for all your support you have given me during this, not only myself, but my wife and I during this past several months. I know we've gone through some trials, but I want to thank the church for your support, your prayers, and the meal that you've been providing to us. Thank you very much. I will say it in English, thank you, in Spanish, muchas gracias. And we're very, very appreciative, muy agradecidos for everything you've done. And it's a Bible-believing church, and I just want to praise the Lord for all His mercies.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." I was just reading this the other day, and I was lucky enough to be born into this church, and I didn't have to put any effort out to find it. I was just born into so much grace. And I'm truly thankful for this church because there are a lot of people here that labor. And they labor for my soul. And it's hard to care about people, but there are a lot of people in this church who just care, and they're working all the time, and I'm very thankful that they teach us and they take time for our elders. Like Brother Brian, he has a lot on his plate, and he would yet still come on Tuesdays, and he would give us our classes, and I could tell he was so tired, but he would still come. And I'm thankful for my grandpa, who's been such a great example to me in faith, and my dad, they're my elders, and I'm just thankful for them, for all the time and all the effort they put out, and for this church and all the people here that they're a real blessing to me. They're real faithful, and I'm just thankful that I was placed in this church.
Thank you,
not of any effort of my own, but of His grace.
Thank you,
Lord. Family 32 in the Red Book.
In the Red Book.
32 in the Red Book.
Yeah, let's stand.
Yeah.
Don't want you to fall asleep. Blessed be the name.
Amen. Name is Jesus.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Two things that I want to praise God today for is that we have a sure word.
Amen.
Well, more than two things. But we have a sure word of prophecy. We have something that we can bank on, that we can trust, that we can believe. Do I believe it all the time? No, I fail daily. I fail. And I know I must just grieve and hurt my Lord when I disbelieve Him and when I don't acknowledge Him. But I do know from the bottom of my heart that I have a sure word.
Amen.
I have a place I can go that I can trust. I may not understand it, but I can trust it. And then I love that part where it says, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You know, when you're in that dark place and you can't see, and all of a sudden that the right word that is spoken or that light shines, and it just is like, wow, you know, I have that. And I'm never going to get away from that. His voice will always be with me. His light is always with me. I might turn away from it, and I'm looking at the dark, and I'm not looking at that light that's provided for me, but there is always a light there. No matter how dark your life becomes, there is always light. There's always God waiting for you to look at Him, and He's there willing to show you and to teach you. And then in verse 20, I know I probably embarrassed my son the other day, but I went and picked up his friend, and his friend gets in the car, and I
I just couldn't help it. He said something like, oh, I'm a good Christian, or I whatever. I go to church. I take communion. I do this. You know, don't get on me. He said something about the Bible, if he had a Bible, if he read the Bible. And I just, I don't know, I kind of like lost it. And I just went into, no, it's not about communion. It's not about going to church. Do you read your Bible? And I mean, that whole car got really quiet. And I said, it's not about what your priest says or what your preacher says. I don't even care what your parents say. Do you read the Bible? And then I felt bad after I dropped him off. I thought, man, I kind of just totally laid into that poor 16-year-old kid, you know, 15-year-old kid. And he was just like, yes, ma'am. And I was like, I don't care what anybody says. You better know your Bible for yourself. And I'm trying to be like, well, he didn't really ask me any questions. And I totally just lectured him and yelled at him like, you know, he's the idiot. But you know what? No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Right.
Do y'all know how golden that is?
Yes.
I mean, do you realize you don't have to have a preacher? It's good to have them. I'm very thankful for the preachers in my life. But I can study the scripture for myself. I am so thankful I was raised in a way that, don't take my word for it. What does the Bible say? You know, I used to kind of hate it. I'd go to my mom for advice, and she'd go, well, you can do this, and this is what will happen. Or you can do this, and this is what will happen. Good decision making. And she'd leave, and I'd be like, no. You're making this decision for me. I don't want to make this decision. Just tell me what to do. And my parents, as much as they love to tell me what to do, they didn't always tell me what to do. When it was a sincere issue for me, it was like, well, here's my advice. This is what I think, but, you know, or my mom would be, well, what does the Bible say? What does God say? I don't know, Mom, that's why I'm asking you, you know? But I am so thankful that I am not dependent on my dad. I am not dependent on my preacher. I am not dependent on anybody to show me the light. I have the light.
Amen.
I have God's word, and it is sure. It is a light in the dark place. It is not open to private interpretation. Oh, we might disagree on what a verse means, right? But it's still not a private interpretation. It's open for discussion. It's open for argument. And I can come to the conclusion through prayer and trust in my Lord of what he wants for my life. And I am so thankful how golden that is, that I have a sure prophecy. I have a light in a dark place, and it is not a private interpretation. God speaks to me through his word.
Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 4, starting in verse 4. And it says, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And starting in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And then in 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace, which you were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And I want to stop there, because that's why today we are all are fellow citizens, and we are right now in the household of God.
Amen.
And I want to thank my sisters and brothers, sisters in Christ here at this church. I appreciate everyone here and for their ministries here that continue to go on. And I just appreciate all the hard work that the preachers do daily, making decisions for us, for our elders, for their blessing to us, and for all the men that come behind them and help out. I say, Dan, you help me, you know, a lot. And for him, and for Bernie, for being a witness to me and my family. And it was through her witness that we were able to come to know the Lord. And
amen.
Then my sister and my brother here, Brent and Janice, came to the house and witnessed to us and just gave us the gospel. And we got saved. And it just continued to go
amen.
On. And my children are safe. I thank that. And my daughter-in-law today, she's with her family. And she wanted, I know she probably would like to come, but it was a situation where she's with them right now. And I thank her, thankful for her, Brittany, and for my sisters here.
Amen.
And my niece and my daughters, my Elizabeth, my Alyssa. I love them. And especially for Brian, because he works a lot, and he works hard.
Amen.
And he's a blessing to me.
Amen.
But I want to let you guys know that you all are a blessing. And I see George and Susanna. I love them, too, because they're a blessing to me. And Corey, Jenny, and Gabriella, and I see Han and Jane. You know, all these people I see around me are precious. You know, Erica, Joe, Brian, you know, Diane, Laura, Danny. They're always here, and they're consistent. And I see them, and they're strong, and I see their testimony and their witness daily. And Lori, you know, just always there, just moving on and keep going on and teaching those kids.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Being a witness. But I wanted to give her and praise, most of all, to my Lord and Savior,
amen.
Jesus Christ.
You,
like he said, we are now no longer one, we are now fellow citizens and saints in the house of God.
Amen.
Praise
the
Lord Jesus.
Alright. Philippians 4. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through
amen.
Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And God of peace shall be with you. A lot of times people that go through a lot of things, like myself, we all go through stress on a daily basis, but have you ever those times that it's just like it's so hard to bear that if you just pray and it just melts away. It's just one of those unbelievable things. It shouldn't be this calm, but you are. The situation is because of him.
Amen.
And just praying in him. And I just, every prayer I do, it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving. I still say thanks, and I say thanks. The first thing I say is, thank you, Lord, for everything you've done and what you haven't done, because those things do matter. And
that's true.
Just name
praise the Lord Jesus.
I also had a sentiment about Judy, about thanking everybody. When we were I know it's kind of corny, but when we were in Mexico all those years, I knew of y'all's faithful saints giving, praying, and I still know you that way, but I also now know you and things you're going through, and everyone in here has gone through a trial of their faith in some way, and it's blessed me and it's touched me to see you go through these things and be victorious and still love and serve God, and that has really blessed me. And I just wanted to real quick in 2 Corinthians, just a thought in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, with that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And it was a few months ago, I guess, that Brian taught on this. And since he taught on this that day, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it, that God was willing to reconcile with me. It says in Romans that we were not just alienated and far from him and, you know, going a direction, but it says we were enemies of God. I was an enemy of God. And yet he did this reconciliation thing. I haven't been part of many reconciliation type situations, but I know it sometimes can be real difficult. Someone has to be willing to, you know, and God says God would that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm so glad that he was willing to reconcile with me, even though I was an enemy of his. And I just want to praise his name this morning for that reconciliation, and that we can give that message to others, that you can be reconciled with God. And I want to know if we could sing 31 in the supplement.
31 in the supplement. At 7 o'clock, and we'll have the Lord's Supper, and then you can just finish out thanking the Lord on this Thanksgiving Sunday. But we're going to be having a meal, and listen, we want to let you know, if you came not prepared with any food to add on to the meal, don't worry about it. We all brought plenty. So please stay with us and eat with us. Don't leave because you didn't come ready. Just go ahead and stay with us and eat with us. And you all know the drill. We'll be moving all these seats out of the way, and we'll be putting up tables and putting out the chairs. And then we'll also have people standing in line to go through the food. By the way, if you're someone who's old, you don't have to call yourself old, but if you know that you're old, you're welcome to just cut in line and just walk in front. Don't even hesitate to do that. We don't want you standing up for too long because we don't want you to faint or anything. So go ahead. Also, if you're a mother with young children, you're also welcome just to cut in line. Just get in line and go ahead and go through and get your food so that you can get those kids taken care of. And the rest of us do not mind, right? All right. And let's see. Anything else I need to tell? Say it again. I have no idea. They're wanting you to go outside. It's cool, so don't worry about it. You go outside and then come in the main door, and that's where the line will start. You'll be able to get your plates and everything, and you'll be coming from that direction, this direction, to come on in. By the time the first ones get through the tables, we'll all be set up and you'll be able to have a sip. Did you have a question?
Well, actually, I wanted to share that today's a very special day. Today is the birthday of my mother, and my nephew, Jared.
Well, how about that? So, sister, you get to go in line first, and Jerry, it makes no difference for you. All right. Well, we're going to pray now and bless the food. Have the Lord bless our time here. Dad, would you go ahead and thank the Lord for the food?
Father, we rejoice in all the blessings you have given us. We rejoice in forgiveness of sin.
Thank you, man.
Salvation for eternity. And Lord, it doesn't depend upon us, but all upon you. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for this food today and the fellowship and all your rich blessings to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
One more thing. If you're visiting with us today and you want to talk about the salvation of your soul or anything spiritual that you want to talk to us about, we are available. All of us who stood up, I'm available for you. Just come up and talk, and we'll give you a time to show you in the Bible. Thank you for coming. Anyway, all of you, come, get ready. You know what to do. Amen. Amen.